Yes, Jesus Christ is alive. And one day soon we will stand with him in glory and we will look upon the face of the one that has died for us. Glory to his name. It is him that we glorify and that we honor. Amen. It's such a blessing to be in the house of the Lord every day. And if you've been with us this past year, if you follow along, you'll notice that there's been a theme. And the theme that we've introduced for this year is digging deeper into the Word of God. And the point is to rekindle our love for the Word, to get back to the roots, to get back to the Word. We embarked on a journey as a church to read the Bible in a year. And as you've seen the announcement before, if you've fallen behind, I encourage you to catch up. If you haven't started yet, please join us as we go through the Word, because there is life in the Word of God. Throughout, we've heard sermons regarding the power and the importance of the Word of God in our lives. For example, last week's messages, if you were here, if you listen, Pastor Gulk talked about the answer to depression was the Word. In the evening, Pastor Jelu Bonta talked to us and reminded us that temptation can be overcome through the Word, just like Jesus did. 2 weeks ago, Brother Lucian talked about the right perspective out of Isaiah 40. Though the heavens may seem silent, though sometimes we may feel that that God's not listening, though it may seem that he's far away, we need to have the right perspective grounded in the Word of God, which says that he knows you, that he's there for you, that God knows you and he cares about you. That is the right perspective, and we find that in scriptures. So stay grounded in the perspective that is the Word of God. And as I've been meditating on these messages, as I've been meditating and reading scriptures, 2 weeks ago, very honestly, as I was sitting and listening to the message, I asked myself, I don't have that issue. I hear the Word of God. I hear him speaking through me to his Word. And the question that the Holy Spirit asked me, and so what? What have you done? What have I done with the Word that I heard? Have I allowed it to change me? Have I allowed the Word of God to transform me? Or has it gone in one ear and out the other? Here at Emmanuel, we've been blessed. Throughout the years, God has spoken. Not just here through the sermons, but through exhortations, through worship, through prayer. God has spoken and is speaking in Emmanuel. And we glorify him and we thank him for that. Glory to God. And at least for me, I know that in the past 4 years and over the 4 years that we've been here at Emmanuel, we have never lacked the Word of God. He has always been faithful. He has always spoken to our needs. He has always spoken to what I need to change in my life. So the question is, and the question that I had, what do we do with this Word of God? This week, I was talking to Pastor Mishka, which we were chatting, catching up, and he asked me the same question. Unbeknownst to him of what I was going to preach on tonight, it was the same question. With all these sermons, with all these messages, what has it done to us? What have we taken? Has it truly changed us? Have we truly allowed the Word of God to change us? Or do we come in week after week, Sunday after Sunday, listening to sermons, exhortations, and maybe we leave here the same way, or maybe worse than when we came? So as I was meditating on what is it, what do I do, how do I respond to the Word that I hear? This Word of God, this is where it led me to the message that I have for tonight. As Emmanuel, I know that we desire revival, that we desire a change in our community. But the question that I have, the question the Spirit asked me, Is there revival in my heart first? So the title of my message tonight is this: be changed and become the change. Be changed by the word of God and become the change that you expect to see around you. And as I was meditating on what I was going to be speaking on tonight, the word of God, the Spirit of God reminded me of a prophet, a minor prophet who knew God, who received the word of God. But unfortunately, he chose to disobey. He chose to go his own way. He had a clear calling upon his life of what he was supposed to do, but he chose to do something different. It's a prophet that we know. Many of us remember him from Sunday school. Many of us know the story. I know you all know the story of Jonah. And I'd like to open up to Jonah. And while I'll be referencing the whole book of Jonah, and when I speak book, it's this and this. It's two pages, the book of Jonah. I encourage you to read. I encourage you to read this book of Jonah and meditate. But for tonight, I will read the first six verses out of chapter 1 of Jonah, which says this: "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps your God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.'" Amen. The book of Jonah, this short little book here, starts with this: the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah had the honor to hear the God of the universe speaking to him. The God that created everything, the God that created us, spoke to Jonah. He had such a blessing to hear God speaking to you in a world where so many people would like to hear what God has to say about anything. God spoke to Jonah. He had the word. And not only that, God spoke very clearly to Jonah. He had a very clear purpose. God told him if he wanted anything for his life, a purpose for his life, which is the question that many of us have. Why are we here? What are we doing? Where are we going? You see, the word of God gave clear direction and purpose to Jonah. It gave him the when: arise right now. This is it, right now. Go where? Go to Nineveh. The what? Do what? Call out against the people. Why? Because their sin rose up against me. So he had purpose. When? Where? What? Why? He had all those answers, all the answers to those questions. May not have been the most glamorous or the easiest call upon his life. May not have been the word that he really wanted to hear, which is not what he wanted to hear. If we read through Jonah, he had a very simple call, honestly. In chapter 3, we realize that he was called to preach 8 words for one day. He preached 8 words for one day. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out. These are his 8 words: "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." But that is not what he wanted to do. Though he was called to proclaim the word of God for one day, he chose to go a different way. And in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, It's never good when it starts, but Jonah did something else. And what I wanted to look at tonight is that the dangers of ignoring or disobeying God's word in our lives. The dangers of ignoring God's word. And the first danger that we see in Jonah, and we see it in our lives as well, when we ignore what the word of God tells us to do, how we should live, the first danger is that we waste resources. And the first resource that Jonah wasted here is energy. And verse 3 again. Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah had the energy to flee, to get up and flee to Joppa. Nothing hurt him. He had no backaches. There was no complaints. I don't feel good about this. No. He had the energy to go. He quickly probably packed his bags and went down to Joppa. He was fleeing from God. He was fleeing from that call. So he wasn't just strolling down, going to the beach. He was probably just, I'm running down. He had the energy to run away. He used whatever means necessary needed to get down the 67 miles that it took him to get from his hometown down to Joppa. And I thought about him, I thought about this, that similarly to him, we spend our energy on things that God has not called us to spend them on. And we run left and right. We work so much day and night. We pursue things in our life that are not led by the Holy Spirit. And we end up tired, exhausted. So what is the danger? The danger is that when we're then called to pray, I'm too tired. When we sit down to read the word of God at night, we look at it, but we're too tired and we fall asleep. When someone asks us to come help them move, I'm too tired. When someone asks us to intercede for them in prayer and to spend time with them in prayer, we're too tired. When we're supposed to sit and pray for chains to be broken, for lost souls to be saved, I'm too tired. We want revival, but we don't have the energy for it. But you see, if we are in obedience to God, to God's word, then we are given the energy needed and the strength to do His will from a source of energy that never depletes. The Holy Spirit. Pastor A.J. Gordon visited the World's Fair in Chicago one day. And through the many exhibits, he saw in the distance a man dressed in oriental clothes who appeared to be working really hard at cranking a water pump. And because of that, there was this mighty water river, this little river that was going by. And from a distance, it looked like this man was just going at it. And he was really surprised. This man, he looked strong to be able to push that wheel and to make all that water flow. He was just really amazed at, you know, his physical conditioning, the smooth motions. So he got closer to investigate, to see this man that was working diligently at rowing this pump. But as he got closer, he realized that it wasn't a man, but it was a statue, a man made of wood. And it wasn't him that was actually cranking that pump, but it was actually the water that was pushing that pump and moving him. And he realized that when we do God's work, when we are called to do His work, when we obey, and when we allow the word to enter our lives, it is the Holy Spirit that gives us the strength, the energy to live according to His purpose, to fill His purpose in our lives. It is time to let the Holy Spirit to channel it through our lives, through our lips, in our testimonies, and everything that we do. And only then will all our ministries truly bring results. when it's the Holy Spirit working in us and not us working just for our own pleasures, for our own desires and our own expectations. So let's stop wasting our energy on ungodly endeavors. Let's focus our efforts on living the perfect will, His perfect plan for our lives. And we know that He will give us the strength through the Holy Spirit. The second danger, the second wasted resource that we see as a danger of actually ignoring God's word for our lives is that we waste time. Same verse in Jonah chapter 3. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. He got into it. You know the story. Jonah's hometown was Geth Hefer. It was about 67 miles north of Joppa, very close to Nazareth. And getting down from Joppa, from Geth Hefer to Joppa, took about a 3 to 4 day journey. Getting to Nineveh took about 14 to 15 days journey. Joppa, for those that don't know, Joppa was the primary port city of Jerusalem. Everything that had to go into Jerusalem went through this city port, Joppa, which is known as Jaffa today. This is the same port when all the cedar trees were brought from Lebanon, from the construction of the Solomon's Temple, and when Ezra rebuilt the temple. This is the same port city where all that wood and all that timber came through. Joppa was a bustling city. It was a port city. There was a lot of ships. I'm not sure if it was like Long Beach here, but I'm sure there was a lot of ships and a lot of activity. Now, not only did Jonah find the time, the 3-4 days, to go the wrong way to Joppa, it probably, you know, took him some time to find the right ship that met his purposes to go far away from the face of God. You know, there was no Google. It wasn't very easy to know where's the ship schedules. So it took time for him to research, you know, which ship is going where, to talk to the different captains. Will they accept me on this ship or on that ship? Of course, he gets on a ship that goes to Tarshish. Tarshish was in Spain, all the way from the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea in Israel, all the way to the west in Spain. His travel time. I looked at the numbers and to see what it would take. And these are, of course, some estimates. But it took him probably 4 days to get down to Joppa. It took him probably a day to find a ship and get on board and for board that ship to sail. So another day there, or five. Probably 2 days on the sea, we're not sure. It's hard to say here. Then we know he spent 3 days in the belly of the fish. And wherever he was spit out by the fish, eventually on the east coast, it probably took him another 4-5 days to walk to Nineveh, if not more. And if he would have just walked to Nineveh, he probably would have gotten there in the exact same time. Mind you, it's hard to say those times and those travel times. He would have gotten there at the appointed time that God had planned for him to get there. But what I thought about was this. What if Jonah was late? What if he was late getting to Nineveh by 1 day? A lot of people die in 1 day in a big city. How many people in Nineveh missed hearing God's call to repentance? Because Jonah decided to spend his time and go in a different way instead of going where God called him to go. Like Jonah, we have time for what we want. There's that saying many of us know, we have time for what we make time for. I remember when our kids were young, we tried to instill in them the importance of time, how to, you know, use time wisely. They gave them chores to do. We gave them, you know, they had homework to do. They had leisure time, game time. And they were still young, and we tried to teach them, you know, how to manage their time. And I remember that Rebecca bought a placard that we still have to this day in our house, and we put it there as a reminder for them. And this thing says, time is precious, wasted wisely. Because, you see, the world loves to fill our time with opportunities to do everything else but seek God, but actually spend time in His Word. In our work, in our entertainment, in leisure, in social media, we have so many opportunities to fill our time with anything but the Word of God. And when we spend our time outside of the will of God for our lives, then you hear the excuses. I don't have time to come to prayer. I don't have time to read the Word of God. I don't have time to help you. I don't have time to listen to someone that's in need. I can't come. I'm too busy. I don't have time for revival. Let us use the limited time that we have, that has been entrusted to us. And let's be faithful to the call that God has put on our lives in serving Him and working for His kingdom to bring about real change. Let's redeem the time, as Paul tells the Ephesians. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Let's stop wasting time, and let's serve the Lord every moment of our lives. The third resource that gets wasted when we ignore the Word of God and God's call upon our life is money. Still in verse 3, Jonah, he paid for the fare. He went down into the ship, right? And he paid for it. Jonah had money to spend on a cruise. Now, I know, I just went on a cruise and we'll go again. That's not for me. But Jonah had money. He had money to spend on a cruise. Apparently, finances weren't an issue. Though I think that his savings, his budget, sailed into the sunset with this expense. He probably spent money that he didn't have to on a trip that he didn't need to. It might have been cheaper to walk or rent a donkey to get to Nineveh. Not sure, but could have been. But it's not just his money. It's not just his finances that were affected. Jonah's disobedience caused financial ruin for that ship company. In the middle of the storm, and the fear that the mariners were in, they started throwing the goods overboard. Whatever they were transporting, they were just throwing everything away. Not just the goods they were transporting, but probably their food, their water, their reserves. All that was thrown away. Instead of Jonah being a blessing to others, he brought God's wrath upon them. And the ship company lost on that trip, lost a lot of money. In verse 5, they threw everything over, threw all their cargo overboard. Today, there's probably really valuable goods at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea, thanks to Jonah's disobedience. But you see, when we're not grounded in the Word, we'll spend our money and our resources in things that don't honor God, nor grow His kingdom. Then we have the excuse, well, I don't have money to tithe. I don't have money to help missionaries. A preacher from a small town, one day, his car broke down. And he went to the nearest place to find a phone, a public phone, to call for a tow truck. And he goes, calls the tow truck company, and there he sees Frank. And he remembers Frank being a rich guy, a well-off guy. But right now, Frank is destitute, looks all shabbled, definitely down on his luck, as the Americans say. So the preacher goes to Frank and says, Frank, what happened to you? You were so well off. You were doing great. What happened? Well, preacher, let me tell you. I've had all these bad investments. I invested in all these things. Now I own so much money to the creditors, to the debtors. It's not good. I'm in so deep trouble. And as a good preacher in a small town, he said, Frank, listen, I need to get up. I need to go home. Wash yourself. Take the Word of God. Open it up. And just put your finger on that first thing that you open up your Bible to. And I promise you that the answer will be there. A few weeks later, months later, A reverend is walking in the small town, and he sees Frank coming out of a really nice car, dressed really nicely. And he goes up to him and says, "Frank, what happened? You look great. What'd you do?" And he says, "Reverend, you are right. You're absolutely right. I went home that day, I opened up the Word of God, and the answer was right there. Chapter 11. Of course, for those of you know, chapter 11 is bankruptcy. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm encouraging you to do. But what I am saying is that the preacher was right. That even how we manage our finances is found in the Bible. That even in that, the Bible speaks to us. Even in that, God calls us how to remain faithful with our finances and with our resources. Therefore, let's not waste our money, our resources on things that don't honor God. Because God has a plan even for our money and our resources. Let's be obedient to His word. So the danger of ignoring God's word are wasted resources, energy, time, money, resources. The second danger of ignoring God's word, of coming to church and leaving the same way or worse than when you came, is missed opportunities. So Jonah, he hears the word of God. But he does not want to follow that. He has his reason. He gets down on the road. He gets down to Joppa. Finds a ship. Gets in the ship. Goes downstairs in the ship. Falls asleep. The ship is now traveling. He's way fast asleep. In a storm, God sends a storm. God's wrath is upon the people, the ship, and everyone tries to do everything in their power. Everyone else is trying to do everything they can to save the ship, to save their lives. They hoist the sails. They throw the goods overboard. They even pray to their gods, as you know what people do when there's no other hope. They cry out to a god. But the one man that had the answer to their problem, The one man that had the answer to save their lives, the ship, the goods. The prophet of God that had the word of God was asleep. And this image touched me so much. In a world that's looking for answers to racism, to gun violence, to war, identity crisis, why is the church asleep? Are we asleep? Why is it that we don't have the answer when we actually do? Why are we asleep when the world needs Jesus now more than ever? How many missed opportunities have we had because all we had to do is wake up and tell people that there is hope, that there is salvation in Jesus? How many people have died? How many souls have been lost? Because we've been sleeping. Because we chose to go our own way. That we thought that our way is better. Have we become desensitized to the Word of God? One day, a deacon invited a famous preacher to his house to have dinner with their families. The preacher, this famous preacher, accepted, came over for dinner with his kids, his wife, and they sat down for dinner. The preacher started telling a great story, as preachers that can really speak, not like me, but preachers that can really tell great stories, very dynamic, great story, very captivating. The deacon, he was just so captivated by the story and amazed. The deacon's son was sitting next to the preacher's son. And even the kid was so captivated by the details, the intrigue, the story. And the deacon's son turns to the pastor's son and says, "Wow, is that true? The story that your dad, the preacher, is saying, is that true?" And the preacher's son said, It's just a sermon. It's just a sermon. How many times have I come to church saying it's just another sermon, just another song, just another exhortation? That guy, I've heard that guy preach 1,000 times. How many times have I let the Word of God change me? Have I become desensitized? Have I forgot that the Word of God is alive and powerful? Have I forgot that the Word of God gives me life? That I am called to be transformed and renewed every single day by this Word? Or is it just another sermon? And I will leave here the same way that I came. How many souls have been lost because we've been asleep? Because we don't care. How many missed opportunities have we had to reach out to the lost and hurt that need Jesus? Because the third danger of ignoring God's word, of disobeying, is that we'll be going in the wrong direction. See, God gave Jonah very clear direction in his word. Get up, go to Nineveh. Go this way. But as we know, Jonah chose to go away from the presence of the Lord. Away from the Lord. Twice it said in verse 3, Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish. Away from the presence of the Lord. You see, away from God's presence means away from relationship with God. God didn't speak again to Jonah until he was spit out by the fish back on dry land. Going away from God's presence means going away from his protection. Jonah found himself in the middle of the storm, in the wrong place at the wrong time. Going away from God's presence means going away from his provision. You see, God called him to go to Nineveh. And God, if he called him, which he did, God would have provided the means, the transportation, the finances, everything he needed to go where God called him. He would have. And he did. But no, instead, Jonah chose to pay from his own pocket, to spend his own finances in his own time and his own money. See, away from God's presence means away from fellowship with his people. Jonah is surrounded by pagan worshipers. Everyone on that ship is calling out to God, but not our God, not Jonah's God. If he would have gone on the way to Nineveh, on that journey, he would have, you know, still had to go through Israel. He probably could have stopped in different places in the synagogue where people could have prayed for him, encouraged him, gave him shelter, food. But no, he went totally the opposite way. With no one to help him, to strengthen him, surrounded by pagans. There is hope, there is joy, and there is salvation in the presence of God. As David says in Psalm 16, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what David wanted. David did not want to go away from the presence of the Lord, but instead he wanted the presence of God because he knew that there was true joy, hope, and salvation. Instead of fleeing from the presence of the Lord, we should pray like David. In Psalm 27, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. To seek God's presence, to seek relationship with him. See, the only right direction is towards God. As James says in chapter 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Because the greatest danger of ignoring God's word, of not letting the word of God change you, is not all the wasted resources, is not the missed opportunities, but the greatest danger is that you will go down, 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 down to death. Away from the presence of the Lord, away from his word, means down to death. Jonah went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He lay down to sleep. Eventually, he ended down in the sea, in the belly of the fish. His story could have ended up tragically for him and for everyone on that ship. They could have all died. But God, in his mercy, sent a fish to catch Jonah. And in the belly of the fish, for 3 days, Jonah had time. He had time to repent. I invite you to stand. This is Jonah's prayer. In chapter 2, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, belly of death, I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. No, Jonah, you drove yourself away from God's sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up my life from the pit. Oh Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. For salvation belongs to the Lord. You see, away from the word means death. Any other way, any other direction leads only to death. And that's where Jonah should have ended up. That's where you and I should have ended up, in death. But praise be to Jesus. For 3 days, like Jonah, he was in that tomb, taking my sin, my disobedience, my shame upon him. All my wasted hours, all my wasted time, all the wasted resources, the missed opportunities where I could have saved, I could have worshiped him, where I could have worked for him, where I could have honored him with my life. But so many times I've chosen not the word of God. So many times we've come here and heard the word that calls us to be changed, to let the word transform us. But it's just another sermon. We'll hear another one next week. Tonight, the word of God speaks to us. It is speaking to you. It's speaking to me first and foremost. Let yourself be changed. Let yourself be transformed by the word of God. Let it truly renew you. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life for you and me to be a true change. The change that you want to see around you, be that change. Let the Holy Spirit renew your mind in the light of the word. Let yourself be transformed tonight. And sing together with us the song, Lord, help me. Just for one day, Lord, help me to live out your will, your call upon my life, oh Lord. Just for one day, Lord, let me truly live out your word. Let me not seek my own purposes, my own wills, but let me truly live out you, oh Lord. Just one day, Lord, help me to live for you. Let's sing. And afterwards, we're going to go into a prayer.